Text for salvation this evening is found there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28 reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes." How comforting, how reassuring those words are to the hearts of all Christian believers this night. All things work together for good. And as Christian believers, we are reminded tonight that our Lord and God is always with us through the ups and downs of life, through the trials and tribulations of life. God, our Lord, is always there to sustain us, to encourage us, and to help us. Isn't that good news tonight? We all have got to face various trials and difficulties in our lives. But simply to know that our Lord does not forsake us, he's ever there, out of the way to assist us, to help us, brings us great comfort and great reassurance. The Lord is always with us. In our various situations of life, our Lord is always there. We take, for example, one of the most extreme situations of life where we can prove the Lord's presence. I'm thinking here in terms of death. When death comes to a family or a family circle, that family or believer at all, they know assuredly the Lord's presence, sustaining them and helping them. And if many of us here this evening have proved that for ourselves over the years, the Lord has been there for us in the most desperate of situations, there to assure us of his presence and to comfort us. Then our Lord make that very clear to us by his own example. That example is found in John chapter 11. We see our Lord there at the home of Martha and Mary. Their brother Lazarus had just died. Jesus Christ was in the gathering. He's there to comfort them, assuring them of his presence and of his help. Verse 33 of John 11 reads, "When Jesus saw Mary weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled." Verse 35 tells us there, the shortest verse of the Bible, that Jesus wept. He understood what those sisters were going through. He appreciated the grief they were experiencing. He drew alongside to assure them his presence, to comfort them, to encourage them along the way. Our Lord understood all that was going on in the life of this family. They were to prove that in all things, God the Lord was still doing all things well for them. Yesterday, in the Ball Church building, there was a colossal funeral for Mrs. Murphy, Reverend Philip Murphy's wife, who had passed away after a prolonged illness, a long, trying illness. She was called home to glory. And at that funeral service yesterday, we can truthfully say the name of Jesus Christ was uplifted. God was glorified. The gospel was preached. Believers were encouraged. And all present yesterday were greatly touched by what they heard, God's word, to their lives. Indeed, the words of my text this evening shone out yesterday, though not directly spoken of yesterday, nevertheless, it shone out clearly. A woman was buried yesterday who knew in her own heart that everything worked together for good as far as she was concerned. A young woman called home to glory. And friends, for ourselves this evening, we should never imagine that God does not understand our situations, that God does not understand what we're called upon to pass through. I'm not necessarily thinking of death yet at this point in time, but I'm thinking of a myriad of problems, dilemmas that you and I face day after day, those things which annoy us, drag us down. We're not called upon to bear those burdens alone. God knows, God understands, and God is always there for us. According here to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we should appreciate that he has a perfect plan, a perfect purpose for our lives. Indeed, we can say this evening that God has two purposes in the happenings of life. They are our good, and his glory. Our good and his glory. And best of all, God's plan is always going to succeed. His plan started way back in eternity past when he chose us in Christ. We're sure of that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. There Paul tells us, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Christian believers, this evening, you and I have been chosen in Christ. And because we've been chosen in Christ, we have the assurance, the guarantee, that we're safe in our Father's keeping. As believers, we should not be discouraged or frustrated when we lay hold upon our text and see it being fulfilled in our lives. Our difficulties of today, we all have difficulties. Our difficulties of today only help to guarantee that glory will be ours when Jesus Christ calls us to himself. All things, every conceivable thing works together for our good. Our good, spiritually speaking, in our walk with the Lord. As we look now at Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we now consider the following. First of all, we see here a misquoted text. A misquoted text. This text before us this evening is most certainly the Word of God. Of that we're in no doubt. And as such, it's full of truth and full of meaning. But it is also a misquoted text. What do I mean by that? Sometimes this text is quoted out of context. What I mean is this. Perhaps an individual, perhaps a family, have a bereavement, or some tragic event has crossed their pathway in life. And sometimes people go forward to them very glibly and say to them, oh well, it's all right now, it's all right. All things work together for good. Well, friends, I'm suggesting here this evening, those words are true, those words are biblical, but sometimes those are just not the right words to use. Personal occasion. Perhaps that individual, perhaps that family are full of grief, their heart broken, the wound is sore. At such times you should not be going forward to them and saying those words to them. It's what you're saying to them. God is with you. Trust in God. Look to him. Now, friends, don't misunderstand. Don't go into this building this evening saying I'm denying Scripture. I'm not denying Scripture. But what I'm saying is this. We need to be so careful as to how we use Scripture. There's a time and a place for using the Word of God. And sometimes there are a family is passing through a time of great grief and great sorrow and great hardship. They may not be the right thing to say. We need to be careful how we approach these situations. obviously for the distress in our time of need, the time of grief and separation, they cannot understand. They cannot appreciate what God is doing with them and what he's doing. They just don't understand. It takes great wisdom and spiritual discernment to know when and what context these words should be used. I think perhaps what I'm trying to say to you this evening is simply this. We need to be careful of not being guilty of throwing out the baby of divine truth with the bathwater of human insensitivity. We need to be so careful as how we were ourselves. Indeed, I go further and say to you this evening, in the presence of unbelievers, especially unbelievers, do you not misquote these words in their hearing? Or use part of this verse, as some do. You most certainly do not go forward to an unbeliever and say to them, oh, well, all things work together for good. Those words are true, that is true, but, those words are not relevant and should not be quoted to unbelievers. Their grief is deep. Their grief is sore. And what is more, the text actually does say all things work together for good to those who love God. Rather, we should quote words like John 3 and verse 16. Words which tell unbelievers, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Stressing to such the importance of repentance, belief in Christ, and love for the Saviour. What unbelievers need to hear is a word from Scripture which points them to a personal faith and trust in the Lord himself. And so I'm suggesting this evening from Romans 8:28 that this can be seen as a misquoted text. Misquoted. But then secondly, we want to see here a misunderstood text. A misunderstood text. There are two key things which you need to understand about Romans 8 and verse 28. In order to use this verse in the right context, we should make sure to understand what is truly being said here. This verse of Romans 8 and verse 28 is only relevant to Christian people. It's only relevant to believers. This text states quite clearly, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. As I referred to, these words cannot be used in another context. Consequently, it is quite wrong to tell unbelieving people that all things are working together for their good. They cannot possibly understand what you mean or what you're saying. In turn, they're likely to become angry and cross with you, become displeased, and gain a perverted view of God himself. The second point from Romans 8 and verse 28 is that the focus is not on isolated events in a believer's life. Rather, is the sum total events all going together that what work together for good to the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Do you understand the difference between saying each thing by itself is good or saying all things work together for good? There's a great difference between these two statements. This verse, Romans 8 and verse 28, does not tell me that I should say it's good for me to break my arm. It's good for me to pass through a time of affliction, illness, or whatever it might be. It's good for me to endure a time of suffering. That is not what's being said here. But it does say that God will use all these events and weave them together with other facets of life in order to produce what he knows to be best for me or for you. It's all events together, going together, work together for good. Because humanly speaking, you and I couldn't possibly think to ourselves this evening, if I fall and break my arm and my leg, that's great news. Far from it. But in the overall context, the sovereignty of God, as God works, so he brings to bear his purposes in that thorough sense. Less as you've understood here, let me try to illustrate to you more fully. I'll use the following as a simple illustration. Here's a baker. A baker is baking a cake. It's a lovely cake. And when it's finished, it'll be light to look at, to sample, to taste, and to enjoy. But have you ever tried tasting individual ingredients in a cake? Have you ever tried taking each ingredient in turn and eating it on its own? Have you tasted baking powder on its own? Have you tasted flour, that horribly bland substance used for baking? Have you ever tried taking a raw egg on its own? It would probably turn most of us. Each individual on its own, each individual item here before us would taste horrible. We need to turn away from it. As they say in the country, it would turn our stomachs. Almost everything that goes into a cake tastes terrible on its own. But, when the baker mixes all these ingredients together in little amounts and puts it in the oven for a period of time, then what an amazing transformation takes place. The finished cake, brought in the oven, tastes delicious. Our palates are touched by what we're tasting and eating. It brings joy to our lives. We're content at that stage to enjoy the cake in its finished state. While individual ingredients, when taken on their own, taste horrible, the final product appeals to our taste buds. If we judge the whole cake on the basis of individual ingredients, we would have said that cake is not fit for human consumption. But taken together, the unpleasant ingredients combine to produce a lovely end product. And Christian friends, for you and for me in our Christian lives, our Christian living, the same is true for us in life. Every happening, as it affects ourselves, is for ultimate good. God sends each individual situation to our lives to draw us nearer to him, to depend more and more upon himself, and to prove him more fully in our lives. As I said already, each individual problem or difficulty is not nice. On its own, it only causes grief. But when you and I as believers can look back corporately to all the events, we can see that all things have worked together for our good, as God has been working out his perfect plan and purpose for our lives. You see, the Almighty has a reason behind all that he does in your life and in my life. That reason is that we use ups and downs of life to glorify his name, to prove ourselves more devoted to him, and to be submissive. To be submissive to him in the hardships and problems which confront us. Again, I remind you of the text. And we know that all things work together for good, the honor and glory of our Lord. And then thirdly, we see here this evening a meaningful text. It's only whenever this text is fully understood and appreciated that its meaning becomes all the clearer to ourselves, makes more sense. We understand the text fully then, the text bring all the more comfort and strength to our hearts. We'll then see what's been meant here in these words. We'll see how in it all and through it all the Lord is at work, and through that text that brings great reassurance to our hearts. Let me illustrate that further from Scripture. In the book of Genesis, we are told of how God's servant, Joseph by name, endured long and harsh trials in his life. Joseph was abused and accused and misused by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, into hardship, sold to Potiphar's household, where there's what Potiphar's wife lied about him, where Joseph was falsely accused. He endured much hardship. The jailer then put all away Joseph. For a number of years he lay there, uncared for and suffering. For Joseph, life for him became a downward spiritual battle. All was going against him. Life was hard for him. Wasn't easy for Joseph. But in this at all, Joseph maintained his faith. Joseph continued to trust in his covenant God. Joseph continued to trust God even though all around him was nothing but distress and trouble. Now the words of our text, Romans 8:28, were not in existence in Joseph's time. They were written much later. But nevertheless, these words summed up Joseph's attitude to life. Had that text, Romans 8:28, been in existence in Joseph's day, he would have said, amen to it all. All things work together for good in my life. Even though I was thrown into slavery, even though I was falsely accused, in all things God's in all things well for me. Joseph could see that through all things, the hand of God was upon him. That was why Joseph could say to his brothers in Genesis 15:20, imagine these words, friends. Here's this man, Joseph, this man sold into slavery, this man having to suffer so much in his life, this man enduring so much. And he could say in Genesis 15:20 to his brothers, but as for you, you, my brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it unto good in order to bring it out to this day and to save many people alive. Joseph was given this great insight concerning the sovereignty of God in his life. Joseph had a full appreciation of a God at work, of how God has worked meaningfully in his life and doing all things well for him. We now return to our illustration of the cake. We see that for ourselves. The individual ingredients of life do involve trials and tragedies. Of that there's no doubt. And those trials and difficulties are neither delicious nor desirable. In fact, at first experience, they are bitter, they're grievous, and they're horrible. But God is capable of measuring out carefully and mixing up the ingredients of life to produce in your life and in my life a beautiful, final product. A product of a life lived and depends upon Him. A life which shows forth very clearly the ups and downs of life, that we're glorifying His name, living faithfully for Him, and trusting Him at all times. Those ingredients, those hard times of life, God takes them all in your life and in my life, puts them together to make us the men and women we are this evening in our walk with our Lord, and that we trust Him all the more fully. Our God is carefully measuring out and mixing up those ingredients in our lives in order to produce a final product that is surely good for us and for Him. He doesn't ask us to immediately see every individual event of life as being wonderful. God understands when we find it hard to trust in His sovereignty in all situations. But friends, as you and I do trust Him, we will see as surely God at work and God doing all things well. He knows that one day we as believers, as we look back over our lives, we'll really say that God the Lord did everything well for us. God the Lord did everything well for us. My friends, I know I'm addressing this evening those of you here tonight who have had hard experiences, sad experiences, difficult experiences in life. But I stand by what I'm saying. Those individual ingredients were not nice. But I'm saying to you this evening, as you look back over your life, seeing God at work in various situations in your life, you like me will be able to say, in it all, the Lord did all things well. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. Our Lord's desire for us is that we should fully appreciate His dealings with us in life. And as you understand, He's in control of all things. He's fulfilling His purposes for us in life. And friends, whenever we do find the going hard, whenever we do it difficult to face life in these difficulties, then we trust again our Lord. I quote to you the following words. There's so much now I cannot see. My sight's far too dim. But come what may, I simply trust and leave it all to Him. You and I today and this evening see in part. We only see in part. But God sees the whole. God knows what is good for you and for me. And God's desire is that for you and for me, then today, we shall be as a beautiful cake, full of beauty, full of glory, and fully living for our Lord and for our Master. And so I conclude now with my text as I quote to you. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purposes. What comfort that should bring to all of our hearts this night. Amen.